Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
And welcome to our podcast, Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, where we teach what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. Do you realize in the Bible there are over 2,500 verses that deal specifically with money and possessions? And in our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, we use these biblical principles to show you how to remove the debt that you've accumulated. We also show you the importance of saving and investing, giving, how to deal financially with a crisis, and how to have a better relationship with God. You can learn more about our Bible study and our ministry simply by going to CompassCatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and with me are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Hard to believe Thanksgiving is behind us. We are finished with Black Friday, and now the buying season is in full swing. Now, you still have time to pull together a financial plan for the holidays that will keep your bank account in the black. So I want you to take some time before your spending spree starts to think through why it's so easy to overspend at Christmas. And we have some ideas to help you recognize why you overspend and how to combat that urge. Here are a number of things for you to consider this holiday season.
Well, we're going to talk about some family examples here. And the first one is trying to make kids happy. So here's the scenario. Maria is a divorced mother of two teenagers, and she overspends on the holidays out of guilt, because she's trying to make up for the emotional disruption in her children's lives by showering them with gifts. But she knows deep down inside, no matter how many gifts she buys, in January, when the credit card bills come in, she's going to experience terrible anxiety, and there's no way that she can make up for the emotional disruption that's already been caused to her children. But that's one of the reasons people overspend, is trying to make kids happy.
Well, and you're right, Christmas is all about the kids. And it can really be a magical time where you can make lots of memories. Kids aren't stupid, and they can understand that money isn't infinite. Just having more presents doesn't create more memories.
And too many people think they're a bad parent if they can't buy the child every single thing they like, or everything they see, or everything they want, or everything they think they want. I mean, I remember one time my aunt told me that she was going to tie the kid's tongue to their shoes if they asked for one more thing at Christmas. And you know which aunt this was, right? Because when they see all the ads and all the stuff bombarding them at this time of year, it's easy for them to say they want everything they see, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, you're not going to stop loving the kids, and the kids are not going to stop loving you if you fail to provide everything that they think that they want. Not making kids happy is a deep, dark fear that drives a lot of unhealthy financial behavior at this time. And I think everybody can recognize that.
I think making me happy was the last thing on my mother's mind. What about you, Steve?
You're probably absolutely right. She was only happy when we ate everything on the plate.
I mean, I can hear my mother say, "Happy? You want me to make you happy?"
Or, "I'll give you something to cry about."
Yeah. That was always a favorite one, too. You know, most kids are able to grasp the concept that there are some items that they want more than others. And they're able to tell you the things they really want at the top of their wish list. So there can be some level of sanity on this whole Christmas I want type thing that's coming from the kids.
Yeah, I think even tiny kids can tell you Santa only has so much room in his sleigh. So if you're secretly worried about a child rejecting you because you didn't give them enough gifts or the right gifts or, you know, yada, 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 remember that they want more than material goods from mom and dad.
Most of all, they want your love, your approval, your time, and your undivided attention. And if you've taught them to value material possessions over these things, you may want to just stop and rethink what you're teaching them. And now, this Christmas, right now, is a good time to make that change.
But by all means, we want you to prioritize your budget and spend more on the children than on the adults. I mean, let's face it, the adults kind of get it, all right?
We would hope most of the adults get it, but not all.
So you've got to balance this against the knowledge that overspending in the short term is really going to be bad for the whole family in the long term. And that's the big deal.
So the second example here is striving for a perfect Christmas by keeping up with the Joneses. So our example in this one is Tom and Sue, and they just love the holidays, and they want every holiday to be absolutely perfect. You know where this is going, right? So they do everything they can to make the season festive and fun. And even though they use a budget during the year, that budget gets tossed right out the window at Christmas. And they feel the need to buy expensive gifts for everyone in their large extended family. And they would never want to disappoint their 12 nieces and nephews and siblings and parents and neighbors and friends and even casual acquaintances. So every year, they overspend their budget in quest of the perfect Christmas. And every January, they pay the price in stress and finance charges and post-holiday misery.
I think the only thing that they're creating is the perfect storm.
You got it.
And it's going to be one heck of a blizzard.
Even here in Florida, it will be a blizzard, right?
You know, perfection exists in math, but not in much else. And in real life, particularly where anything you do with humans is concerned, perfection is impossible.
You know, when we look at social media or we talk to people or we see people from afar, we feel like our own lives can seem very messy when we compare them to our friends and neighbors. And if you top that off with all the multiple media messages of perfect families and the perfect homes and the armful of gifts and the cars in the driveway with a big red bow on top, you have the perfect recipe for a holiday inferiority complex. We aren't just keeping up with the Joneses anymore. We're holding ourselves up for scrutiny against an airbrush, photoshopped version of the Joneses.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And you don't forget the rhinestones on the top for the extra sparkle. Let's be real about it. What you see in the media is definitely not real.
You know, this is a good point, John, because how many couples have come to us for financial help and they're making a mid-six-figure income and they can't make ends meet because they're overspending? But from the outside, it looks like they have the perfect life because they've got the big house, they've got the fancy cars, the kids are going to private school, everybody's dressed beautifully, mom's got dripping jewelry all over her, but they're in debt up to their eyeballs.
You got to take a few minutes and just write down a list of things that are truly important. What really brings you joy and happiness? You know, yeah, it's nice to see your cousin's niece or whatever, 14 families removed, enjoy opening a present, but you don't have to buy it for her.
Let somebody else buy it for her, right?
Well, exactly. You know, seriously.
Well, the kids sometimes are barraged with so many gifts, they don't appreciate any of it.
But you know, the reality of it, I'll go back just to our grandsons. They get excited going to the dollar store and they'll play with that toy probably longer than something that had a higher price tag that's in their house.
But so many people focus on that price tag and think that they have to buy that expensive item or their kid's life is going to be ruined.
How many kids spend half a Christmas afternoon playing with the boxes?
Yeah, the younger ones. But not McKinney, our youngest grandson, still has a fire truck that he bought here when he was visiting here when he was 2, 3, 3.
And he still loves it.
Still loves it. He still drags that thing out because it makes the siren. To be honest with you, I'm impressed the battery still works.
I'm sure his mom and dad were real glad you bought him something with a siren that makes noise.
Don't know. We're not there.
But, you know, so many times people buy presents because they're trying to save face and appear good enough. And that's not what this is all about.
No, I think the parents attach the price tag.
Yeah.
I think the kid would be happy with something inexpensive.
The little kids, they have no clue
exactly.
How much stuff costs.
Yeah.
It's not relative to them. It's what the present is.
And getting back to what we said before, if young children are concerned about the prices, then what are mom and dad teaching them?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the focus when they're at a young age, you know, what's that going to happen when they get to be teenagers or adults?
Well, you know, the other thing is you tell a kid, make up a list. Well, you give him a full sheet of paper, and he's going to fill the paper with items. You know, it's going to be
everything
15,
on
20,
TV.
However many, you know, however big he writes, that page is going to be full, and it may go over onto the back side. Mm-hmm.
So I can see where this is going. A quarter sheet of paper and a pen that's going to run out of ink. Right?
I was thinking about a 3x5 card, but the point is, they don't need to have 25 different items.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, they can start with a list of 25 items, okay? That's nothing wrong with that. But then tell them, okay, let's cut it to 10. And then let's cut it to 5. And out of those 5, what are the top 3 things that if Santa brought, you would just be really happy? Because they're not going to understand the stats.
See, that's exactly what our son does. He starts with 3.
Yeah.
He said, just give me the 3 things that you would like.
Yeah.
And that's a good place to start, because mm-hmm. once you plant that seed with the 10 or 15 or 20 items, it's almost
Kevin
setting
said.
Expectations.
Yes.
That's how many they're going to get.
And the other thing is, you know, if you start doing the list at Thanksgiving, by the time Christmas gets mm-hmm. there, the list is totally changed.
Right.
Yeah.
So you better be doing a list the week before Christmas.
No,
you know.
Then you have to shop at the last minute and overspend because you didn't plan.
Yeah, yeah. You have to reevaluate that list, though, because, you know, they're going to change their minds.
Well, and some people just fall victim to peer influence. It's, you know, well, everybody else overspends at Christmas, so I will too. And just because everybody else, what did your mom tell you? Just because everybody else jumped off the bridge, right?
Yeah.
Do moms still say that?
I'm sure they do. But I wish people had an opportunity to have like a crystal ball so they can see what their January or February credit card statement's going to look like before they went out shopping.
Well,
they would think twice.
They would if they would just add up what they're spending, right?
Well, you know, if they keep track.
Which I doubt if they're doing.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, everybody knows I'm a little bit anal, mm-hmm. but I actually balance my credit card statement every month. Mm-hmm. When I get the bill, I check and I make sure. I know how much is going on that credit card. And they should too. They shouldn't sink their head in the sand or in a snowdrift and not look at it until January.
A good habit to get into this year is to track your Christmas spending. So come 2019, you can begin to save each and every month for your 2019 Christmas shopping season. You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. I'm Steve Holbrook. John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, join me today. And we are providing some tips to help you eliminate the stress that usually is attached come Christmas shopping season. So, Evelyn, what are some of the other recommendations that you and John have?
Example number 3 is doing things just because it's expected. So our example here is Emma and Ben have enough money that overspending during the holidays isn't a problem. But what really makes them crazy is to see the holiday focused on things while friends and family miss the real reason for the celebration. They hate seeing gifts that are broken, discarded, or ignored as soon as the holiday has passed, and they struggle with the feeling that even though they have enough money to spend on Christmas, it's not being very well spent.
Well, I would tend to agree with them. You know, if you've got things that are discarded or ignored as soon as the holiday is over, then those things weren't treasured.
That's right. They weren't appreciated.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think this often happens when you have unreasonable family members and you're not willing to stand up to them and change how you've always done things.
Well, that could be, or you just haven't been really tuned in to the needs and or wants of the children or the people to whom you're giving those Christmas gifts to. If you're really tuned in, if you're really thinking about it, if you're in touch with those people, not just, oh yeah, hey Joe, how you doing? But, you know, you're really involved in their life, then what you're giving them isn't going to be discarded or ignored as soon as the holiday has passed, because you're going to give them something that's really worthwhile, something that they will enjoy, they'll treasure. I think that would help to solve the problem.
Well, I think the other thing, if we could circle back a minute, not standing up to family members. I think sometimes it's easy to fall victim to whatever your family's been doing all along and trying to make everybody happy by doing what people want you to do, not really what's in your own heart. And the fact is, you're never going to make people happy, so quit trying to make everybody happy by buying gifts for everybody in the family.
So you're telling us we're all a bunch of sheep and we're just following along.
I think that happens in a lot of families. You know, you get to the point where, you know, you had two brothers, and then all of a sudden your two brothers had four kids, and you have five kids, and everybody's buying presents for the nieces and nephews and the in-laws and the outlaws, and because it just started out that way, and it kind of bloomed out of control, and nobody's ready to say, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense anymore.
You know, the cool thing about that is you'll take up two pews at midnight mass.
If you get there early enough to get a pew.
So, Evelyn, what do you recommend to families that buy for each other, but inside they'd rather not? Can you throw a suggestion their way?
I think the most important thing is to figure out what's comfortable for you. You know, if you really don't want to spend money like that, and you'd really would just prefer to do something else, like buy maybe a video game for the family to use, or if you have unreasonable relatives who demand certain things at Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, just announce what you're going to do and tell them if that's not comfortable for them, you understand, and you're sorry, but this is what you're doing.
I know some people that have larger families that will select, I'll select a name inside the family and just buy for that person, and that person buys for one other person in the family.
I think that's a great idea.
That way you don't have to buy for three other brothers and sisters, just buy for one and they buy for one.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, because that really holds down the stress a lot. You know, we're talking about holiday spending stress. Mm-hmm. And if you only have to buy for one person outside your immediate family, that sure is a lot easier than 13.
And I believe they want to do that. It's just nobody wants to be the first person to suggest it. It would make them look cheap.
Yeah.
When in reality, everybody wants to look cheap.
But you know, this family, this example that we're talking about, they have money, okay?
Yes.
But maybe the reason that they have money is because they're careful with their spending all year long. And, you know, just buying things willy-nilly, it goes
their
against
style.
Their grain.
Yeah.
Right. Good point.
And I think that people know how you are. You know, they know how you live your life. And if they know that you're careful with your spending all year long and then you go bananas at Christmas, I think that's going to cause as stress for them, probably.
Oh, I agree.
You know, not just for you, but stress for them, because they know you're trying to accomplish something that you really can't accomplish.
So that's when it's important to understand what's comfortable for you and make the announcement, such as, we're only buying presents for the kids this year. And it's going to feel weird the first few times you try to be assertive, if that's not your style most of the time. But, you know, your friends and relatives are going to get over it over time. And the world's not going to end if you say no every now and then.
You know, what about the couple that they think that they deserve only the best?
So this is Sam and Susie. And they would never, ever dream of buying presents at the discount store or doing anything other than over-the-top gift-giving, decorating, party-throwing, and meal planning. But every year they get stressed out and the holidays are less than joyful. And it's really not a joyful time in their home when the bills start piling up in their mailboxes. But they do this because they deserve the best.
I don't think anything about Christmas is connected with the word deserve.
You're right, it's not.
It's just, you know, there's nothing about deserving in Christmas. And either you can afford something or you can't. And it doesn't matter how entitled you or anybody else feels. You know, if you can afford it, then you shouldn't be stressed. If you can't afford it, don't go there.
we were working with a couple that has nothing to do with Christmas, but she used the word deserve. My husband spent, I forget what it was, to buy himself a new set of golf clubs because he works hard. He deserved those. And I remember hesitating. I'm going, because he works, he deserves all these gifts, and you don't have the money to pay for these gifts? I said, is that how this works?
He needs to work a little bit more.
No, they've since, trust me, have turned it around. We run into them every once in a while, and they are on the straight and narrow.
But it's amazing what people think they deserve. I mean, none of us deserve anything.
That was the first time I ever heard that.
Really?
Because he worked hard, he deserved these new golf clubs. Oh,
we hear it all the time.
I've heard that before.
See, I looked at Audrey and I said, see?
You know, the bottom line is do the math. Either you can afford something or you can't afford something.
Exactly.
It's not about deserving.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with buying the standard version of something if that's all that the budget allows. And you know, if you can't afford to go deluxe, don't go deluxe. You know, if you want that item, get the regular item. And guess what? There's no harm in cutting back. You're going to survive. It'll be okay.
You know, I think the key there, John, is not survival, but thriving. Because once you learn how to set your priorities and spend wisely, your finances become so much easier to handle that you're not just surviving, but you start thriving because you understand God's way of doing things instead of trying to follow all these rules and regulations that we hear from the world.
You know, I was reading an article this morning, and it was defining financial success. In this particular author's viewpoint, financial success is achieved if this year you're better off than you were last year.
And that's not how much stuff you have. That's financially what your the math. Financially,
it's
what
the
your
math.
Picture is.
It's the math. You know, is your debt less? Is your savings more? Even if it's only by $2,000 or $3,000.
Mm-hmm. Or $2 or $3. At least you make some level of progress.
Yes, it's success. And if you're blowing everything at Christmas and wiping out all that gain you've got for the other 11 months of the year, mm-hmm. Whoa, what's wrong?
Not success. Okay, our next example is panic buying, including stockpiling food. So this is little Josie, and at Christmas time in mid-December, she heads to the grocery store for Christmas gift shopping. She doesn't have a list, only a vague idea of what to buy and who to buy for. So she wanders around aimlessly, picking up the gifts that seem like they might be a good idea. But when she gets home, the gifts are all wrong, and she forgot half the things she wanted to buy in the first place.
Wow. You know, I don't even know how to respond to that. I mean, I can remember when I was in high school, I used to love to go do Christmas shopping the last week of Christmas, you know, right before Christmas. And I had no idea. Maybe I had a sense, at least of who I was going to buy for, but I had no idea what I wanted to get them. Because I didn't know what was out there. Because even then, I didn't pay any attention to the commercials and, you know what was. So I would just walk around the store and absorb the Christmas, all the music and the hubbub and that kind of stuff. And it was pretty cool. And I'd eventually figure out what I wanted to get. But, you know, if you're doing that for a family, I mean, it's different as a high school kid. You would expect that from a high school kid. You're an adult now. Grow up.
Make a list.
Make a list. Figure out what you're going to do and only spend what you can afford.
You know, if we take the easy way out and just grab whatever's closest and make snap decisions, it's going to end up costing us far more than we planned. So to avoid being in debt for months and months during 2019, avoid panic buying as much as possible. Take a deep breath, calm down, check your budget, and make a shopping list for gifts and food. And if you start feeling panicky, go back to the list. Keep yourself focused, and the panicky feelings will be a lot easier to overcome.
If you're out there buying food for a party or whatever, you probably don't need to buy as much as you think you do, because people are not going to eat as much as you think they are, unless they're all teenagers.
And if so, buy double.
You know, have a list. Know what you're going to, what you want to serve to people. Don't just go into the grocery store hungry and start buying things.
So if you see yourself in one of these situations, try using one of our tips to break your bad holiday spending habits. The holidays are closing in fast, but there's still time to take these proactive steps to avoid finding yourself in a financially stressful situation in January.
Once Christmas is finished, we really strongly, I can't even tell you how strongly we want you to begin saving 1/12 of what you spent in total for this Christmas. You're going to get the bills in January. You're going to know how much it was. Start saving 1/12 every single month. And if you say you can't afford to do that, what makes you think you're going to be able to pay off your bills now? After all the buying frenzy that occurs every year at Christmas, it has nothing to do with the baby in the manger. The gift of God made man. The only one and true gift we need at Christmas. Here's wishing you a cheap, affordable Christmas and a financially stable new year.
Hard to believe that we are just a few weeks away. Now follow these recommendations and there's going to be a great chance that your holiday stress will be reduced greatly. Now if you'd like to listen to this show again or maybe share with a friend, simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage to the button that says podcast. Now before we leave you today, let's get to one of the emails that we received this week from one of our listeners. And the email reads, John and Evelyn, should we share household finances with our teenage sons or is it best to keep that private? Now, we do have some challenges right now, and I don't want to worry them or place any stress on them.
You know, I think anytime you can share whatever is appropriate with teenagers and even younger children as far as household finances, it's a good learning tool for them. I wouldn't give them all the ugly details if you're in a lot of financial trouble, but I would tell them that you've got debt you need to pay off, or you're trying to save for a certain thing, and just give them the high-level view of what you're trying to do, and I think you'll be surprised how much they'll buckle down and help.
I would also, you know, how much you tell them depends on how old they are and how mature they are, and their ability to maintain confidentiality. Steve Harvey is making a career out of kids saying the craziest things on the TV. Well, they're only repeating what they hear from home. As long as your children are mature and can handle the information you're going to give them, then I think it's a good idea.
John and Evelyn, thank you so much. Now, if you have a question for John and Evelyn, by all means, send your questions to askask@compasscatholic.org. And should we use your question in our podcast, we would be happy to send you a free copy of the book, Your Money Counts. This book is a biblical guide to earning, spending, saving, investing, giving, getting out of debt. Simply send your questions to askask@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we're from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.